may be seated. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. Luke 14 and verse 23. Of course, over the last several months, we've been looking at some soul winning helps, and we've been looking at the bare bones of soul winning, if you will. And God's been doing a work in my heart and reigniting a fervency there for leading people to Christ and getting the gospel out. And here in Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, the Bible says this: "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for your word. We thank you for the command, Lord, that we are to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us as a church, that you would help us to remain faithful. And dear God, that you would help each one of us, Lord, to do exactly what you've called us to do. I pray that you would be with this message tonight, that you would guide and direct my thoughts and my words. And I pray that our hearts and our ears and our eyes would be on you tonight. And Lord, we will give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we looked at this topic here on soul winning helps, if you remember, dig back in your memory bank, if you will. And we talked about the simplicity, if you will, of approaching a complete stranger. If you're a soul winner, it's not only going to be to family and friends. It's going to be to people we've never met before. And many times it needs to be seen with urgency, because it's somebody we may never see again. We may be the only person that crosses their path that knows the answer about eternity. So we need to be telling them. But we talked about how to approach a stranger, how to start a conversation with them, how to intently go through the gospel. And those things are important. But those things are only important for the ones who have a desire to lead someone to the Lord. They're only important if we're going to put them into practice. If we're not going to be the ones who are willing to work for the Lord, then this is just information to us. Learning these truths would be a blessing to those who desire to do the one thing that we've been called to do. But if we as believers just want to ride a church pew and allow all the ones around us to be busy, not willing to get into the fight ourselves, you know what this series has been to us? It's been nothing more than just mere information. But that's true with all preaching that we hear. That's true with all scripture that we read. If we're not willing to apply it, it's just words on a page. But when we allow the Lord to speak to our hearts, we allow the Lord to do a work in our lives, understand this is a living book, and God will do great things if we allow Him to apply His Word to our hearts. Sunday school and junior church teachers and bus workers and even nursery workers, understand you need to see it as your responsibility to work hard in this area and to try to reach that group, if you will, increase the number of children impacted by the ministry that you're in. But if we're unwilling to tell people, we might as well just tune out and go to sleep. I don't think anybody's asleep in here yet this evening. Amen. I don't have tomatoes to throw that way. You may have them to throw this way, but I'm not armed with anything to throw that way to wake anybody up tonight. But the truth of the matter is this: we may joke about going to sleep physically, but there's an awful lot of believers who are asleep spiritually. An awful lot of believers who they've trusted Christ as their personal Savior, but they're not doing the one thing that God has called them to do. Faithful attenders, be willing to join the church, get involved in active soul winning program. If someone joins this church, I was just talking to some about this before the service tonight. When you join Grace Baptist Church, you're joining a busy place. We have a lot of things going on. There's a constant rotation going on in that book. bulletin, not one time do we open that and say, oh, wow, nothing's going on that we need to be made aware of. No, we got some stuff going on. We're busy, and praise the Lord for that. You're joining a place that's busy, a place that's moving forward, and we need to be involved and be willing to jump in. So with that being said, this evening, as you see there on the top of your handout there on the back of the bulletin, notice the title of the message, Why Most Churches Don't Win Souls. Why Most Churches Don't Win Souls. When you think about that, you would think that, well, it's because that a lot of churches, they're just busy doing other things. Well, that's part of it. They will act like more like a social club than anything else in a lot of those cases. But that's not the things that we're talking about tonight. As we get into this tonight, I want us to understand this message here tonight, when we look at why most churches don't win souls, this message tonight is not being given in an attempt to make us look at others. It's being given in an attempt to help us to see how they are in disobedience to God's Word. Therefore, we need to be doing what God's Word tells us to do, or we'll become just like them. So an awful lot of churches today that have boarded up windows and doors. Awful lot of churches today that have been bought and turned into apartment complexes. There's one in my parents' hometown. There's a church building there that it's been in service, if you will, for many, many years. Over 100 years, I would say, just looking at the building. I've had different family members that have went there and over the years and all. But that church building's for sale now. Whittled down to from around 50 or 60 people down to 10 people, down to about 4 people. And finally they said, you know what, we're just going to sell it. There's no use in keeping the doors open. You know what they were not doing? They weren't winning souls. They weren't worried about the community. They're in a small community, and I would go as so far as to say this. They never knocked on one door. They're not worried about souls. At the end of the day, we may be part of a church that goes soul winning, a soul winning church, but if we are not being part of the solution, understand we're slowing the train down. And we'll answer for that. So first of all, notice this. Most churches do not go soul winning because they call a pastor to serve the membership rather than reach souls. They call a pastor to serve the membership rather than reach souls. In today's world, people as a whole oftentimes will look at the one that they call as a pastor. They will look at them as someone who is just to ensure that the affairs of the church are in order. Make sure that the people in the church are happy and preach a little sermon on Sunday morning or Sunday evening and maybe Wednesday night. And in people's minds, that's all the pastor's to do. That's it. Most churches are just looking for someone that can fill that role, if they can say, well, that's our pastor. Most churches are that way. Many churches are looking for a pastor, and all they're looking for is someone who will pray for them when they're sick and marry their children and bury their dead and provide a enjoyable service experience at church, someone to set up some fellowships and ensure that everything's nice. And can I help us here this evening? Nothing's wrong with those things. We should be doing those things. I, as a pastor, should be facilitating things. But the reality is this. Those things are good things, and the pastor should do those things to the best of his ability. His first and foremost job is this: preach the word. Preach it. First of all, it is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but not only in these four walls. It's out there as well. You know, before I was ever called to be the pastor of Grace Baptist Church, I was called to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Before I was ever called to come to this place As a believer, I was told to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's my primary calling as a believer, to preach the gospel. And it's your primary calling as well. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, I'm supposed to preach the gospel behind this pulpit. Yes, I visit the sick. I've been in the hospital a couple of times this week, and I presented the gospel to two people in the hospital. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. What I'm saying here this evening is this. I want to say these things and help us to see that if all we want out of a pastor is someone who checks the boxes and makes us feel good, that isn't a pastor by biblical standards. And by God's grace, that will not be who I am as the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. No, I want to follow what God wants me to do. Yes, care for the church, but reach others. But that type of person is who most churches have, because that's the type of person most churches are looking for. You know, most churches, they want a pastor, but they don't want someone who's going to preach against sin. Oh, they want someone with the title pastor, but they don't want someone that's going to say, "Thus saith the Lord." They want someone with the title pastor, but they don't want someone that's going to say, "Well, this is how we need to be, and this is what the Bible says, and the Bible says we should act this way, and we should talk this way, and we should do these things." They don't want that. No, that's getting involved too much in their business. You know what happens to a church that never reaches the community? It'll close its doors. Because you may have a faithful group. And why is that faithful group there? Because at one point, someone was reaching the community. But then they get so caught up with therefore and no more. Get so caught up with just what's going on in these four walls, that the ones that were reached at one point, they grow up and eventually they die off. And like that church I was talking about earlier, they can't upkeep the building anymore. And it just gets sold. Why? Because they lost their heart for souls. A biblical church is a soul-winning church, and the pastor needs to be leading that charge. Today's term pastor has come to mean one who just looks after people, and pastors should be feeding the sheep. The Lord told Peter, "Feed my sheep." That's what he said. We're told to do that, but not only the ones here. Many times we get so consumed with what's going on in these four walls, we forget that when the Lord Jesus Christ was giving that parable and the sheep came in and 99 were there, He left those there. And what did He do? He went to find the one that wasn't there. Why? Because He cared for them. Because they weren't in the fold. Many churches will just write people off. Well, if that's how they want to be, then we don't have any time for them. No, The shepherd there, he saw that the 99 had come. He had cared for all of them. He knew that they were safely in the fold. And then he left, because that's what a shepherd does. Pastor is an under shepherd. Therefore, we are to feed the sheep. Look at Ezekiel chapter 34, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel 34 and verse 6 through 10. Here in Ezekiel 34, you read about a lack of shepherds there in Israel. And look at verse 6 through 10. The Bible says this: "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, And I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth that they may not be meat for them. Understand here, they're talking about these sheep. And God says this, that the shepherd didn't even go look for them. Lord, help us if we think our only job is within these walls. Some people have the idea that the pastor should only be concerned, only be concerned about these people. Well, we should be concerned about the church here. But we need to go out there. Look at the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6, and verse 34. Mark, chapter 6, and verse 34. We see a principle in this verse. In verse 34, it says this, And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. What did the Lord see? He saw people that needed to hear the truth. And he was willing to teach them. I praise the Lord for the pastor that I was able to follow. Pastor Moore was and is a man who cares about his people. Yes, but he cares about the lost, and he goes. To this day, if I get ready to call Pastor Moore, if I know that it's late morning on Thursday or if it's late morning on Saturday, I know those are two times where he goes out in the community and he knocks on doors and he visits people. I know those times. Why? Because he's been faithful at that for so many years. I know that because I was serving under him, and I praise the Lord for that example. That's the kind of pastor that I ask the Lord to help me to be. One that, yes, cares for the sheep that are within the fold, but also cares for the ones out there. But most churches do not win souls because they call a pastor who is to serve the membership rather than reach souls. You should be doing both. Notice, second of all here, most churches do not win souls because worldwide missions is seen as a substitute for local missions. You know, there's an awful lot of churches that give a lot of money to missionaries around this world. Send a lot of money. That's a good thing. We have 19 different missionaries, and I praise the Lord for that. Wonderful people that we're able to get behind and financially support. And I'm not minimizing that at all. But if at any point we think that that's doing enough, we've missed it. Many churches do not win souls because worldwide missions is seen as a substitute for local missions. Look at Acts chapter 1, if you will, and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We see the Bible says this, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Notice that word, both. I have that word circled there in my Bible, and here's why. Because when it says both there in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth, that word both, it means all at the same time. You're supposed to be doing it all. Well, how are we supposed to do that? Well, God lays it out for us how they did it in the scriptures and how we can still do it today. And we've talked about those things in the past, but we have locally and of course worldwide as well. We need to be involved in those things. But too often, believers are guilty of attending a church that has a worldwide missions program. They give to that mission, and maybe they even give a lot of money to that mission, yet they do nothing to reach the person who's lived next door to them for 40 years. Oh, they're all about a person going over to Africa and giving somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they rejoice that they're seeing souls saved, but yet a person that lives less than 100 yards from their front door, that person is dying and going to hell because they've never told them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's our, if that describes our life, understand we've missed it. Most people do nothing to reach their friends, their family, or their co-workers. help us here tonight. You can give the farm away to missions. But if you're unwilling to reach people where you are, you're living in disobedience to God's word. You can give every dime you have to your name. You can give it to worldwide missions. But if you're unwilling to go, as the Bible says, if you're unwilling to be the one that's passing out that track, unwilling to be the one who's inviting that person out to a certain event, we've got Easter Sunday coming up, if we're unwilling to put our boots on the ground, we're in disobedience to God's word. But you don't understand how much money I give to missionaries. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Yes, we are to support missions, but we're to do this at the same time. You may say, well, preacher, I think it's kind of a stretch to say that you can give all that money to missions and be in a disobedience to God's word. Well, look at Luke chapter 24, if you will. Luke 24 and verse 47. Well, I don't know that I have to do anything. I mean, look at all these missionaries we have across this world doing something. Well, Luke 24, 47, and these are not the words of Pastor Combs, this is the words of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said this, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Notice, beginning at Jerusalem. That's where they were. For us, it would be beginning in Oxford, or wherever your hometown may be. Their first responsibility in the Great Commission was reaching their own town. Some people have a variation of breakdowns for this program, if you will, if you want to say it that way. But notice there on the on your handout there, a little over halfway down the sheet, notice you see Jerusalem. This is the way that I break it down in my mind. Jerusalem is Oxford for us. It's our local area. Maybe you live in a different community. You could put your community there, but this is where the church is. It's where we go out of. So I have it broke down this way. Jerusalem is Oxford. Judea would be our state. That's Pennsylvania. If you want to break it down that way, we've got our local community. We've also got our state, which we live in a big state. When I was living in Delaware, that whole place is made up of three counties. You can drive from top to bottom in less than 2 hours, and it's a small place. But it doesn't matter. That's the place that the people in Delaware were called to reach at that time. But notice, we've got Jerusalem, which is Oxford. We've got Judea, which is Pennsylvania. Samaria would be, in my mind, our nation, the United States. We are to be reaching souls here in our own nation, supporting church planters and even planting churches ourselves. That's doing our part in the Great Commission. And then, of course, the uttermost would be the all other nations, which we've got all kinds of missionaries all around this world. But we need to see that our missions program, the missionaries that are on the other side of the world, that's taking care of part of it, and I praise the Lord for that. Let's keep praying for our missionaries. Keep giving to our missionaries. Keep encouraging our missionaries. Let's keep doing those things. Pour money into that. It's a wonderful thing to do. But God help us if we're willing to send money so that they can put their boots on the ground over there, but we're unwilling to put our boots on the ground here. Many churches are unwilling, or they're not winning souls because, as we mentioned there, they call a pastor to serve the membership rather than reach souls. And then it's also because they see worldwide missions as a substitute for local missions. There's a church not too far from here. It's a claims to be an independent fundamental Baptist church. A couple of them come to my mind now. They give a lot of money to missions. I've had conversations with their pastor when first came up here. I was trying to figure out, of course, which churches were like-minded and which pastors we could fellowship with and all of that. And the list shrinks every day, especially in our local community. But in all the conversations I've had with those two pastors that I'm thinking about, not one time did they talk about a soul that they've won. Not one time do they talk about a structured soul winning program. Not one time do they talk about the tracks that are leaving that place, the way that the Lord is working in that place. They haven't talked about how they're seeing people saved and baptized and added to the church and all those things. And what you're seeing in those churches is continuing to go down. Church, we don't grow the church of God. God does that. It's all in His power. But God blesses faithfulness. And we need to continue to be faithful. They see worldwide missions as a substitute for local missions. And then lastly, let's see this. Churches don't win souls because the church leadership is made up of people who do not win souls. Look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, if you will. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3. Of course, we're talking about the choosing of deacons here. But the principle here is true in this area as well. Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Notice there, they were looking for another deacon in the church, or for deacons in the church there. And they were not told to choose someone that's just been attending for a long time. Someone that they can talk good or they've got some money. No, it's not what it says at all. It says, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. These men were to be full of the Holy Ghost. This is not a message on the Holy Spirit tonight, but I will say this. When a person is saved, they are immediately indwelled with the Holy Spirit. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is something completely different. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is what happens as you yield to God and His Word, as you follow what God wants you to do. That is the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not some jibber jabber as far as speaking in tongues and those types of things. But it's being filled with the Spirit is yielding to God and His Word. And we are to choose people that are in leadership and teaching and those types of things. It is to be ones who are clearly faithful in getting the gospel out, faithful in telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, faithful at giving tracts out and knocking on doors and caring about people by God's grace as ministries and classes and those things are started. Here at Grace Baptist Church, the people that will be used to head up those classes, those bus routes or ministries will be someone who is faithful at witnessing. Someone who's faithfully passing out tracts and soul winning and inviting people to church. Understand, people will not be chosen to lead people if they are not faithful to their God-given responsibility as it is. And that's the way it should be. Not one of us would choose a sports coach for our child who's never played the sport before, who knows nothing about it. We want someone who knows it inside and out. They know the fundamentals. They know those things, and they're living that out in their life. Well, the same thing should be true when it comes to the Bible as well. We all need to be growing. We all need to be maturing, and if we desire to stay faithful to the Lord, we must be yielding to God in these ways. Some people will hear that a teaching position or some leadership position is becoming available in the church, and many people will say, "Well, I'd like to do that. Well, if I get that position, then I'll be faithful." It doesn't work that way. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11 and 12. I want you to know here, in verse 11, We're going to be reading some titles, if you will, for ones that are in leadership. Notice, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, why did he give them to the church? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, most of us, if not all of us, we've heard those verses before, but oftentimes we will read those things but yet we'll leave out verse 13 through 16. Notice from the end of verse 11 all the way down to the end of verse 16, it's all one thought. There's not a period till the end of verse 16. Notice, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We see the work of the ministry. We see the body of Christ working together. And I think all of us could understand here that when the Apostle Paul was giving this letter to the book, or to the church of Ephesus there, he's talking about the work of the ministry. Yes, the things that happen within here. Yes, preaching the gospel to the ones that come through these doors. Yes, caring for the church and the members, and caring for what God has given us and who God has given us. But the work of the ministry doesn't stop there. It goes out into the community. That period is at verse 16. Dr. Heil said this: until a church is organized right, it cannot reap right. What was he saying there? He wasn't saying it's all about pen and paper organization. That's not what he was saying at all. Those are good things, to have things organized. We need to be organized and prioritize things in our own lives, but we are to live for the Lord and everything else comes second. You know, there are many churches that are being led by people who have no idea how to win a soul to Christ. No idea. No idea how to study the Bible. I was listening to a message not too long ago by an evangelist, and he was in the message there. He was preaching, and one of his illustrations was this. He was preaching at this one church, and this one family in the church invited a family member to come, and come to find out that family member that came with them was a pastor of some other denomination, and the gospel was clearly given. That pastor got saved in that church service. I'd never trusted Christ before. Had no idea what it meant to be saved, but he was pastoring a church. There's a lot of places like that. Many churches are being led by people who have no idea how to run a church bus, no idea how to teach a class, no idea how to preach a message, no idea how to do what God has called them to do. I'm not saying that we have it all figured out. We don't. I'm learning every single day. All of us are. But what I do know is this: God's word is true. And by God's grace, we as Grace Baptist Church are going to continue to follow the word of God. We're going to keep doing what God's told us, because God's word will not fail. It cannot fail. Excuse me. It was inspired and is preserved by a God who cannot fail. We're going to continue to follow the Bible. We're going to continue to reach our community. We're going to continue to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to continue to reach our town and our state and our country and all the way around the world. By God's grace, we're not going to be concerned about just fitting into some mold. And other churches are doing that, so that's what we should do. No, we need to stick with what the Bible says. We need to stick with what God's word has proven over and over and over again. And rather than trying to make the Bible fit us, we need to mold our lives around the Bible. Our lives will change, but the Bible will never change. Church, it's an issue with most so-called Bible colleges today when they spend more time teaching on secular things than they do teaching on the Bible. Lord, help us. It's a problem. That's why churches are filled with Bible college graduates who are faltering and wavering on their versions of the Bible and wavering on music. It's because for too long, we as people have become comfortable riding a pew rather than getting busy. And when we're turned loose into this world, whether it be a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary or a Sunday school teacher or a junior church worker or a bus captain or some other position in the church, have no idea how to lead a soul to Christ. And it's because either the pastor was unwilling to lead the charge or because they were unwilling to follow and get on board with what the Lord was doing. Why do we run a bus? Why do we have guest cards? Why do we have track rack? Why do we preach the gospel? Why am I preaching a whole series on soul-winning helps? Why do we offer soul-winning training? Why do we have structured soul-winning times? Because by God's grace, we're not going to become a church like what we're talking about tonight. By God's grace, we're going to continue to follow the Lord. Because by God's grace, we're going to do what the Bible commands us to do. And not fall into the category of churches that do not win souls. First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana was busy running buses, reaching people for the Lord, and people who were being reached were the ones who, on the outside, were filthy, literally and spiritually. They were the snotty-nosed bus kids. They were the smelly people, the drunkards and the drug addicts. Those were the ones that were being reached, and the buses and the vans were going out, and they were picking these people up and bringing them to church and giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeing them trust Christ and God do a work in their lives. And at one of those services, a wealthy businessman who was a member of the church gave a lot of money to the church, walked up to the pastor and said, "Pastor, what are we going to do with all these dirty-nosed people?" The pastor answered, "I don't know what you're going to do about them, but I'm going to love them with all my heart." The businessman stepped back and said, "If they stay, I go." They stayed, and he went. Why? Because it's not about fitting into some mold. It's about reaching people. It's not about making people happy. We couldn't make people happy if we wanted to. You can do all you can, all the Lord allows you to do to make a person happy, but if they don't want to be happy, I can guarantee you this, they won't be happy. We all know people like that. Church, I'm telling this story to help us to understand that there are people like that. There's going to be some who will come in and they will not stay because of our outside emphasis, because we are out focused. Some will come and not stay because of the way that we care for the people out there. There may even be some in this room tonight who faithfully attend, but they will not stick with it for the long haul. And understand this, that's okay, but we're going to keep doing what God's told us to do, because we're not here to please people. We're here to please the Lord. We're going to make some mistakes. It's going to happen. But what I can guarantee you is this, that if we follow the Lord, we will continue to love people as Jesus does. And we won't allow ourselves to fall into this group of churches who do not win souls. Church, I don't want to fall into that group. I don't want to fall into that as an individual, let alone as a church. I don't want my family to fall into that group. None of us should want to be there. But if we want to win souls, we need to be busy. Don't just be happy to attend a soul-winning church. Be a soul winner.